From Given, this is Purposing, the podcast that lifts the lid on how to run a truly purpose-driven business. I'm Becky Willen, and with the help of leaders at some of the world's most recognized brands, I'll be demystifying this often misunderstood topic into clear, actionable advice you can use in your own business. This week, I'm joined by Sarah Gillard, CEO of Blueprint for Better Business, a not-for-profit that helps organizations define and live their purpose. Sarah's work aims to create a better society through better business, helping senior executives navigate the balance of profit, purpose, and long-term impact. We're also joined by my colleague at Anthesis, Ben Heyman, who brings insight from this year's Purpose Gap research, which explores the extent to which companies live their purpose and the impact this has on the day-to-day experience of employees. In this conversation, you'll hear why business purpose matters more than ever in a polarized, uncertain world, what the growing purpose gap reveals about trust, leadership, and communication in UK businesses, and how leaders can bring clarity, conviction, and humanity into their decision-making. But before all that, let's return to where it started. A philosophy graduate stepping into retail and discovering purpose in practice. For Sarah, curiosity about how the world works started young, shaped by a sense of fairness and an early awareness of how the choices available to women didn't always seem fair at all.
I went to an all-girls school, and I remember feeling a deep sense of injustice that there seemed to be this sort of choice that you had to make as a woman of either having a career or having a family. And I was thinking, well, that can't be right.
Her first encounter with business came almost by accident, a temporary role that turned into a long career in retail. But it was also her first experience of seeing what happens when profit begins to eclipse purpose.
Joined the retail industry kind of not by mistake, but certainly not strategically. I took a temp job having studied politics, philosophy, and economics, because I didn't think any of that stuff was vocational and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I joined this brilliant organization, and within a year or two, it was bought by Philip Green. He was reducing investment very quickly in people and systems and training, all the things that I had joined for. But I also saw the culture change really quickly. It became a culture that was sort of dominated by hitting KPIs and massive fear if you didn't. I was seeing people cry in toilets and get super stressed on a Sunday night before coming into work. And we were selling T-shirts. And I was thinking, is this just business? Is this how you have to do it?
That question stayed with her. And when Sarah joined the John Lewis Partnership years later, she saw a very different answer.
But within a week, I saw a decision made where, on the one hand, there was a kind of short-term, more profitable decision, or there was another route to go that was better for people. And they chose the second route. And I remember thinking, okay, this is different.
It was a moment of clarity, the point where philosophy met practice.
Finally, the kind of politics, philosophy, and economics degree kicked in, and I became super curious about how was this business operating in a cutthroat, competitive environment, still surviving, with very different principles, a very different idea of what success looked like. I thought, well, obviously I'm going to have to dedicate my life to this. And I became this sort of zealot. I remember kind of thinking, God, I found the source of the Nile. This purpose thing is really important to how a business shows up, and it can act as a massive strategic differentiator.
So Sarah, let's start with you. You're CEO at Blueprint for Better Business, not-for-profit whose purpose is to create a better society through better business. And I know a lot of your work is with senior leaders and big corporates to help them sort of become truly purpose-driven businesses. But as we all know, I think the idea that businesses can and should contribute to solving our biggest societal and environmental challenges has become increasingly political and polarized. So let's start with this one. How have your conversations with senior leaders about purpose changed in the last 12 months or so?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Becky. Yeah, as you say, I've been at this charity for 3.5 years, and I think the last 18 months have been interesting in terms of how the context has changed. But the business just doesn't operate in a vacuum, right? It's always taking into account the context that it's operating in, whether that's, you know, socially or economically or politically, environmentally, or, you know, increasingly from a kind of tech perspective. The world is changing and business is constantly responding to the context in which it's operating in. So taking a step back, though, if you look at the macro context, away from the sort of political heat and noise at the moment, the big drivers of societal and environmental challenges are still there and getting stronger. You know, the climate change isn't going away. We're seeing more and more evidence of it every day, biodiversity loss and all of the challenges that that will bring. It is becoming increasingly evident. We've still got the demographic changes that are happening all across the world, the economic strain and inequality that we have been experiencing for many years now is getting worse, you know, and mental health and well-being levels. So wherever you look, taking politics just out of the equation for a moment, the world in which business is operating in, no matter what your sort of political perspective, is shifting and those changes aren't going away. So business leaders know that for their business to be relevant and resilient and adaptable in a more turbulent future, which is almost impossible to deny that the future is not going to look like the past, you're going to have to demonstrate as a business how you're part of the solution and not contributing to the problem. Now, you can call that what you like. Some people call it purpose, some call it business resilience or relevance or strategic strength or something else. But, you know, recognizing that your organization is going to have to adapt to changing conditions and be useful means that you're more likely to attract talent, you know, investment, collaboration, partnerships, all the things that we know purpose, as we would understand it, provides. But what has changed in the last 12 months is the way that businesses have been talking about it. You know, I think the strategic logic is still true and has always been true, that if the future doesn't look like the past and you want to survive and thrive as a business, you're going to have to be useful and demonstrate the ways in which your business is useful and that the world is better off as a result of your business being there. And you can call it what you like, but the logic remains true no matter who is, you know, in political office or what the papers are saying or anything else. The business logic still holds.
So the logic is there. Sounds like you're saying the commitment from many business leaders remains. I guess how that gets translated into day-to-day business is shifting, because I think and we will come on to this, but this relationship between action, decision-making, communication is a bit blurry, isn't it? And I think we're seeing the effects of that in the latest research that we've done on the purpose gap. So Ben, I want to come to you now, because for the last few years, you've been leading that research. It's a survey of over 1,000 employees that includes 250 C-suite executives in UK businesses of different sectors, sizes. And it really asks people about their experiences and attitudes towards this idea of corporate purpose. So can you fill us in on some of the headlines for this year's report?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it's a pretty comprehensive study focused on employees of large organizations. And I think that's really important, because I think purpose as a concept is often attacked or undermined because it's perceived relevance through brands and to consumers. And actually what we've done is really focus on employees and people who are in large organizations looking for direction, leadership, inspiration, all of these things that we talk about in the context of purpose and the broader idea of impact. So this is really, really interesting. We've been doing this for 4 years now. And this year, for the first time in those 4 years, the purpose gap has grown. So that's the alignment between the statements an organization makes and the actions that they take around corporate purpose. So we've got 61% of employees saying that there's a gap between what their companies say and do on purpose, effectively. And that's up from 52% in 2024. So that's quite a big jump. And at the same time, another important headline is that 91% of employees say that purpose is important in today's economy. So as Sarah referenced, there's a lot going on in the world and business leaders are hurrying to try and adapt and to try and retain relevance and to try and align with new legislation in some cases, and as well as political ideals. But 91% of the people we surveyed said that purpose was important despite that context, and maybe even more so in that context. And one other thing, I guess, that was interesting is that as well as the gap growing for lots of organizations, we also saw that there are more organizations who are really delivering well against their purpose. So actually, it's kind of polarizing between the leaders and the laggards on purpose. So some people are doing a really, really good job in the eyes of their employees, and others, the gap is growing, and that's creating risk.
So how does the results for this year's purpose gap research reflect what you see in the landscape? You know, how are different companies responding to these pressures, shifting macro context? What do you think the impact of that is, and ultimately, why does it matter?
Yeah. Well, I think there is the purpose gap that Ben just so brilliantly discussed. And there is another purpose gap, which is between what organizations are actually doing and what they're saying. And actually, for a long time, you know, they would say stuff that they weren't doing. And that created this kind of purpose washing problem. I think in a way, we're almost seeing the opposite at the moment. So, you know, organizations, because of all the stuff that I talked about earlier in terms of the strategic relevance of these actions, if you just take sustainability as one element of purpose, it's not all of purpose, but, you know, it's an important element. You know, another recent big report has come out of 150 large companies, and 10% of those companies are actually increasing their ambitions in terms of science-based targets initiatives, and only 4% are scaling back. But if you were to kind of listen to the perception of organizations right now, you'd think there'd been this massive scale back in terms of organizational commitment to science-based targets. And actually the opposite is true. But so the perception and the reality can often be different. But I think in general, there are sort of three strategies that we're seeing playing out in terms of how organizations are talking about purpose or their actions across all of the dimensions of purpose. I think probably the largest strategy in terms of scale is silence. You know, keep your head down and hope nobody points a finger at you or asks too many difficult questions. And short term, you can see how it might be perceived that that's the safest option. You know, don't draw attention to yourself. But actually, as we know, in a vacuum, people make up their own stories about what's going on, and you lose control of the narrative about what's actually happening internally. And so all of the advantages of being purpose-led in terms of strategic clarity and coherence or cultural strength or ability to make decisions or chart a path in turbulence or all the reasons why purpose creates better businesses begins to fade away if you're just silent. And actually, it's not just a sort of vacuum. It may well be that people make up things that are not true internally and externally, and then you're in a whole mess.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing about it, isn't it? That it's not that the engagement with this idea of purpose is such an important part of making it real for an organization. So to do it and not talk about it is going to dilute the potential impact of doing it.
Yeah.
And worse, as you say, you know, people rarely fill a vacuum with, you know, hope, positivity, and optimism. It's usually the opposite, and
yeah,
that will have an impact on organizational culture.
Totally. And belief, it kind of defies business logic. You know, if you're investing in something that you see from the data is good for your business and it's going to provide good future proofing and strategic resilience, and 91% of your employees want you to do more of this, it won't be long, I think, before most businesses say, well, do you know what? Silence is a weird choice here. To not talk about the things that we're doing that are making us a better business and people want us to do it seems a decision. So I can understand why it might look like a good short-term bet to be quiet, but I don't think it's going to play out well in the long run. You know, another strategy we're seeing in some companies, particularly, I guess, those who've been under kind of extreme pressure, is backtracking. And I think one of the things that we also know about the future, as well as these sort of big societal and environmental trends, is that trust in companies is going to be a key currency of the future, particularly when you think about the role that AI is going to play in shaping our world and undermining our understanding of truth and reality and a whole lot of other things. Trust in companies is going to be a big deal because ultimately, you know, businesses are made up of people, and customers are people, and suppliers are people, and investors are people, and trust is going to be a really key factor. So if right now your company is backtracking on things that they said last year or the year before or whatever, what's that going to do to your trust levels internally and externally? You know, what damage is that doing culturally? What's that doing to people's commitment to the company and their intrinsic motivation and their desire to kind of give more to the company?
In a context where trust is already pretty low, actually.
Absolutely.
You know, most research shows that sort of public trust in big institutions, especially corporate sector, is actually pretty low at the moment.
For sure. And it's important, you know, it's one of those intangibles that is really important to a company's value and its ability to adapt. And we saw it in COVID, you know, those companies that were trusted internally and externally did extraordinary things to adapt to very challenging circumstances. Those with low trust, they were completely operating on a sort of purely legal and contractual or sort of financial incentive basis, tended not to adapt particularly well. So I think in increasingly volatile conditions, trust is going to be super important. And if you backtrack quickly, and then, you know, 3 or 4 years' time, if the political winds change again, you change your mind again, people will begin to decide that you are not a trustworthy organization, and that's going to have an impact.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got silence.
Yep.
We've got backtracking.
Yep.
Tell me the third one is a bit more positive.
So I think the third option is companies who are recognizing that the context has shifted and that they need to change, therefore, maybe how they're talking about the actions that they're taking or their sense of how they're contributing to a better world. I think there is a bigger opportunity here for those organizations who still understand the value that being purpose-led brings to their people is to bring how they understand purpose to the core of their organization. Humans want to feel like they're contributing positively. You know, that's a truth that is very hard to deny. We as humans want to feel like we are doing meaningful work, that we're not damaging the people that we work with or our customers or the planet. They want to feel like they work in a safe environment that is going to encourage them to grow and fulfill their potential. Those organizations that are taking this opportunity to redouble their commitment to telling the story of how their business makes the world a better place and making sure that that's true in how they're tracking progress and measuring their impact and reducing negative impact and enhancing positive impact. Those are the organizations that are going to find increasing strength and trust and resilience during this period. And they're sort of laying the foundations for operating well in the future. So it's kind of a tricky one to pull off, but I think those who are putting the effort in are going to find that they're reaping the dividends.
Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're seeing through our research definitely seems to be borne out with what you're seeing kind of anecdotally, I guess, in the market. So I suppose for people in organizations that are either staying silent or backtracking, that might suggest, you know, where that growing purpose gap is coming from. Equally, organizations that are really being more deliberate about putting purpose at the heart of how they make decisions, how they set out their strategy, how they build their culture, that would support the idea that their organization's really doing this well. Ben, what did the research tell us about the potential consequences of the widening in the purpose gap? What's the risk here that leaders should be taking seriously?
I think there's a lot of risk related to what Sarah's just said. And if we consider a purpose idea to be like a promise to an employee, you know, this is what we're going to try and achieve as an organization and as a collective community, then you break that promise and you create real risk around the integrity of the relationship that you have with the employee. So we researched this year and last year on likelihood to leave as a result of inaction on purpose. So for people considering their positions, considering leaving their employers because they failed to deliver on their purpose. And last year it was 47% said that they would consider leaving if their employer failed to deliver against their purpose. This year, it's 66%. So a massive leap in the number of people who'd consider leaving as a result of if their employer failed to deliver on their purpose. Now, of course, that's a hypothetical question around a big life decision, which is quite hard to research. So we have to be kind of honest about the quality of that piece of data. But we also asked a question of people who are currently actively considering leaving their jobs right now, because their employers are failing to act on purpose. And this number was 18%.
Wow.
So one in five people almost considering leaving their roles right now. And that had also jumped up by 5% from last year. So what you can get from that is a growing sense of dissatisfaction with people's abilities to deliver against some of those approaches that Sarah talked about. So the communication isn't good enough. There's a vacuum that's not being filled, and that people are responding to the idea that their employers have made them a promise that they're not being seen to deliver against, and it's undermining the quality of that relationship. And they're thinking, well, could I get a better relationship elsewhere? And it's a really, really big risk that people aren't paying attention to, because you are undermining the quality of the community and the culture that you're trying to create by offering an empty promise. So that's a hypothesis, but that would be a strong hypothesis that that's creating this challenge where people are thinking about leaving their roles because of inaction on purpose.
Earlier this year, you led some different research that really focused on the qualities that employees are looking for from their leaders in these times of great uncertainty. So what can that research tell us about this question of this purpose gap existing between what senior leaders, C-suite execs believe to be true and what their employees are experiencing day to day?
Yeah, another really interesting piece of research, and which kind of couched it in these changing times that we're all experiencing and the leadership qualities that employees are looking for. And what came back was a list of attributes that employees thought were important. But the top three I thought were just great because of their simplicity. And the number one attribute that employees are looking for from their leaders is clear communication. Is so, so important in dealing with turbulence that may be external to your organization, but is affecting how you live, how you show up at work, the trust, as we've talked about earlier, in your organization, and the security that you feel in your job. So that was by far and away the biggest attribute that people referenced as being something that would help leaders deliver better leadership in uncertain times. So I think quality of cascade, quality of communication is something that I think we can all work on, whether it's about kind of closing that purpose gap or just helping employees across large businesses understand what the strategy is and why we're all here and what we're doing next week and how we're going to cope with change that we can see within our sector and beyond. So number two was purpose beyond just making money for the organization, which was kind of gratifying, obviously, to hear in doing the jobs that we do. But that was the second required quality. And I think what we hear from our clients and the work we do is that people aren't expecting overly zealous leaders, and they need people to be nimble and dexterous and to learn new skills and to understand new challenges to help them overcome them on behalf of their organizations and the businesses that they're leading. But they do want some conviction. You know, they do want to know that the people in the organization who are making those decisions have clarity, have an agenda, have integrity behind the decisions that they make. And that was really important. So purpose beyond just profit was important. And the third, again, amongst all these kind of this complex leadership agenda that we are expecting people to deal with, was simply positivity, being positive, showing up with positivity. So recognizing that we are in turbulent times, recognizing that there is complexity in the roles that we have as leaders, but facing that with positivity and sharing that positivity with the employees that you represent and support is really, really important. You know, it's so easy to forget that when, as a leader, you walk into a room or join a town hall or put out a statement, people are looking at you, and that what they're thinking is not, you know, how's their day going? It's more like, what's the future of their organization? What's the future of my job? You know, how confident should I feel about what's going to happen within the context of my role next month? And that positivity is just a general requirement of people who are dealing with uncertainty in a leadership role. And it's so easy to forget. And I think those three, I found it personally very useful, just those three things. Am I communicating clearly enough? Do I have clarity in my purpose? And am I showing up with positivity and energy? And you know, if we forget all of the rest of the noise and all of what we're taught in kind of complex sort of leadership education programs, which is all super, super relevant, but for today, what are your employees looking at you and saying, I want more of this? And it's those three things that are just super, super simple.
Yeah, no, and I loved the simplicity, actually, of that ask. But I think this is a really helpful reminder about what people working in big organizations really need right now. Sarah, and if you are a senior leader in an organization who you might describe as being silent, so perhaps not backtracking, but in that sort of, which you've described as the majority of responses, I think, that you've seen, what can you do to ensure that purpose doesn't fall off the radar completely in your organization? What are the kind of tactics here for reconnecting with purpose in a meaningful way?
So learning the lessons from the past in terms of this movement means that you need to avoid the extremes. And so I think one extreme is trying to only discuss the financial case for anything that you do, whether that's an environmental thing or a diversity and inclusion thing or anything else. There is a lot of temptation, I think, to say, here is how it creates financial value, and that's the reason that we're doing it. And I think, to Ben's earlier point about integrity, that means that you're not talking to the things that people actually want to hear about the ways in which they're, you know, making the world better. And it sort of only justifies, I don't know, societal or environmental positives insofar as it creates financial value. And I there's something that just jars about that. So I think that's one thing to avoid. It's not to say that you never talk about the financial benefits, because I think it's important. But if you only talk about the financial benefits, it is a problem. The other extreme is that you don't talk about that at all, and you just sort of take a very moralizing position about, you know, here is all the ways in which we're improving the world, and you forget that you're a business. So I think avoiding both of those extremes is important. I think coming back to These are our fundamental beliefs about the way in which we are making the world a better place by our business existing. Here is how we're demonstrating that and connecting to your humanity as a leader and that of the people that you're speaking to is super important. And then as a leader right now, I mean, I think this generation of leaders, it's an extraordinary time to be a leader. You know, the amount of change and disruption that's happening right now, the decisions that you make may well have implications that go beyond your generation, the next generation, the generation beyond you. You know, we have an incredible opportunity to intentionally shape the future. And actually, we're shaping the future whether we intend to or not. So I think being super aware of that and thinking hard as an individual, you know, take yourself off for a walk or, you know, go on a retreat or whatever it is that you need to do, but thinking hard as an individual about what is the impact that you want to have. So that if you live to 100 and you're looking back on your career, you're thinking, well, was I just silent? Did I, you know, do the job that people asked me to do and no more, and I kind of, it was fine? Or are you looking back with pride on how you helped shape a better world and used your, the platform that you had, you know, the responsibilities that you had to legitimately, with accountability and transparency and all the other things that we know are really important, you're just kind of imposing your view on everybody else. But did you use your position of leadership to help create a better world that you and the generations that come after you are going to live in? And I think taking the time to do that, that's not something you can do, you know, in the 2 minutes between meetings. It's worth thinking about. So yeah, I'd really recommend it.
And so Ben, coming to you, I guess, with the same question, thinking about everything that we've learned from the work on leading through uncertainty and the purpose gap, what would your advice be to a leader in an organization who perhaps feels that commitment from others is waning? What can leaders do to make sure that purpose really does stay part of the reality of how decisions get made in their organization?
Well, I think one of the big things that leaders can do is see and think about the impact of purpose on cultures and how you make your culture more coherent, more productive, more engaged. And these are ideas that people are interested in. And obviously, they don't determine what you put, like exclusively determine what you put into a job role or not. But I think as leaders, often we're encouraged to get our heads up and look out and, you know, survey the landscape and the world around us. But I actually think we need to look into our organizations, see who we're speaking to, remind ourselves of, I love the sort of Sarah's point about legacy, because I think it's an individual's legacy, but also thinking about the people in your organization, what they care about and the culture that you want to create, the community that you want to create to deliver whatever it is that your agenda is, your product or service, your purpose, and try and connect that idea of purpose with culture, because I think it's so, so important. And again, we've done our research on the purpose gap, which is really interesting, but looking at other bits of research, there was a piece of Gallup research last year that estimates that disengaged employees account for approximately $8.8 trillion in lost lost productivity. So this is not just a nice, let's all hold hands and dance around the campfire. This is like a serious opportunity for business leaders to galvanize people to help them to achieve their agendas. And those are kind of commercial agendas as well as positive impact ones as well around stuff that's beyond the performance of your business. So yeah, that's what I mean, I think it's such an important part of all of our jobs to encourage or to think of our companies, our workforces, our organizations as communities, and that we could fuel that communities with those communities with positivity in order to be better, to be more effective.
So I think anyone who's worked in the purpose or sustainability space for the, you know, last decade or longer will recognize that perhaps this isn't the crisis that some people are describing it as, that we have seen shifts in expectations, level of commitment, ambition, something almost like a sort of a pendulum to it. Sarah, where would you say we are in that swing? Is this it now? Will we expect to see things change, ambition come back? You know, what might we predict for the future?
Well, again, looking at the data, two-thirds of high-growth companies see sustainability and purpose as a lever of differentiation and future-proofing. And the laggards see it as either compliance or philanthropy. So, you know, business sense is going to hold out here. And I think, to quote, you know, a philosopher, Schopenhauer, he said, you know, ideas are first ridiculed and then resisted or violently opposed and then accepted as common sense or self-evident. And so I like to think that we're in the sort of final stages of the resisted or being violently opposed. And that at some point, pretty quickly, we'll get to a point where this is just self-evident. This is just how you need to run a business in a very dynamic, changing world that has a lot of challenges and that business can help profitably solve. So I think my hope is actually that this phase, well, it ends pretty quickly, but that we almost don't need to talk about it in the near future, because it will become so self-evident that this is just how you run a great business, that this podcast doesn't need to exist, Becky. Sorry. If that ever happens, we'll celebrate.
We will. We will.
It will mean that our work here is done.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the hope. I think ultimately, like I said at the beginning, business logic will hold out here. It's very difficult to see why it would go any other way. I think we're in an odd moment, but I don't think it's going to last.
Yeah. I think we'll be around for a little while longer yet, Sarah, because I think there's a big difference between the ambition to do everything that you've described and the capability and systems and processes to and actually enable that to happen when
that's true.
Businesses today have, many of them have been so hardwired around a sense of,
right.
sort of short-term
You're absolutely
profit
right.
maximization. What else would I do, Sarah, if I have this podcast?
You find something. I think there's a difference between... So again, when I joined the charity of sort of 3 years ago, I genuinely thought that the argument about why should a business contribute to societal and environmental challenges, just nobody needed to have that conversation anymore because it was so self-evident. And that we were all going to move to the how, to your point. You know, I think there's a lot of work to do in terms of how do you move organizations to this and how do you sort of rewire them strategically and culturally so that this is the norm. I think at the moment we're back in the why conversation.
Yeah.
That's the bit that I think is not going to last. I think the how, you're right, there's years of work to do there, so we're good.
Yeah. But no, I think you remind me of a conversation I had on this podcast with an exec coach, Arabella Ellis, who talked about similarly in the way that you've described it, that actually people who have been part of this purpose movement, we haven't actually done ourselves the biggest favors in some cases. And by ignoring what she described was a sort of 2x2, looking at the cost and the benefit of doing something and also not doing something. Mm. And I think as a group of practitioners, we've always focused on the doing something and we haven't spent enough time thinking about actually the validity of not doing something that's more purposeful, more sustainable today. And maybe not in a never situation, but not in a now situation. So we've evangelized rather than really considered and made space for doubt, uncertainty, challenge, fear sometimes.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, maybe that's inevitable. I think in order to shift a conversation, you probably have to go out there all guns blazing with I have a dream. You know, there's a different way of doing this. But if it stays there, it loses credibility because you're not engaging with the messy reality of things. And I think this is an opportunity for us all to say, well, maybe we did skate over all of that and we've got to get our hands dirty and really engage with the critics and understand their concerns. And actually, some of their concerns are really valid.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Particularly, I think, legitimacy of CEOs, very powerful CEOs who are using their organization to impose their version of a better future on everybody without the legitimacy and accountability and transparency. So I think there are dangers. And I think, you know, recognizing them is going to help us move forward with a better strategy, basically, which, you know, we need. So, yeah, I think lots to learn, but also lots of good work to be done.
Sarah, Ben, thank you for being such brilliant guests on Purposing.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much for the invite. Lovely to chat to you both.
Thanks again to Sarah and Ben. Loads of brilliant insights and ideas there. So here are a few things that I've taken from the conversation. Silence is not safety. It's tough being a business leader in an increasingly polarized world. But when 91% of employees believe that purpose matters, staying stumm is only going to lead to disengagement internally, and that creates real and quantifiable risks. Some estimates put the cost of replacing an employee in the UK at £25,000, and with 1 in 5 people considering leaving their roles, that really adds up. And it's not just about risk, it's about missed opportunity. A A clear, compelling, and actionable purpose that's used effectively can be such a powerful tool in navigating change and disruption. You know what? Employees know that too, with 96% of people saying purpose brings positive benefits from engagement to culture and more effective decision-making. The role of leaders here is so important, but it's actually fairly simple. Employees are looking for three things: clarity, purpose beyond profit, and positivity. And if that isn't a mantra for leadership today, I don't know what is. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you'd like more practical advice on building a purpose-driven business with brilliant insights from people like Sarah, download the Insider's Guide to Purpose at givenagency.com/thinking.